Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Brought to you by Farmers Insurance, who knows a thing or two about how to save a buck or two when you bundle home and auto. Visit farmers.com or call 1-800-FARMERS to get a quote today.
We are farmers. Bum, bum,
bum, bum, bum. All right, we got a lot to get to. We have Super Bowl teams, the Niners taking on the Chiefs, whom I picked both to win. I did not pick both to cover, and I was wrong on both of those picks. Good day for the favorites, which is a bad day for Vegas because people bet favorites. Anyway, the Chiefs did what you're not supposed to do, which is spot another team 10 points, not once but twice. But it doesn't matter because they have Pat Mahomes and no one else does. Kind of remarkable, right? The Chiefs went from laughingstock of the league in terms of their ability to find a way to lose home playoff games to the envy of the league because they have the elixir for anything that ails you in Pat Mahomes. And then you have the Niners who kick the Packers' ass, right? We can get into other stuff, and we will, about Aaron Rodgers and about the Packers and about their coaching staff and about where they are. But if you had to sum up what you saw for the most part in that game, you'd say that was a thorough and complete ass-whooping, right? Actually, let's start there. Let's go there. I know that we become hyper-focused on Aaron Rodgers. And some of that is the business that I've chosen. Some of that is my reaction to my cohorts. Some of it is that somehow I've become somebody who really thinks the world of Aaron Rodgers is a talent, and I am an Aaron Rodgers apologist, I've been told. I did not think he played particularly well in the first half. I cannot excuse the fumble, even though the fumble's, you know, at worst 50-50 in terms of his fault, but they looked stunned. They looked overwhelmed. It should be pointed out that they had an opportunity early in the game. They got a stop on the very first possession of the game. Then the Packers got the football. And on third down, Aaron Rodgers had a choice, throw the out route or throw the slant. Instead, he chose the out route, which came up a yard short. His head coach, Matt LaFleur, who this is his first rodeo, went conservative, decided to punt. And that was kind of that for most of the first half. Rodgers threw a pick. Rodgers' best drive ended in a fumble. The team looked shell-shocked. He looked like he was seeing ghosts. It was just bad. But some of it could have been helped if the defense could tackle or stop anybody. Some of it's matchups, right? A team that the Packers the Packers by design want to get ahead, pin their ears back, and rush the passer. That's not the style that the 49ers play. When the Chargers whoop their ass, that's not the style that the Chargers play. Get a lead, run the football, stay ahead, and not allow their pass rushers to be pass rushers. To anyone who thinks that the league or you don't actually respect how good Rodgers is, I want you to ask yourself something. In the fourth quarter, with 8.5 minutes to go, when it was 14 points and it got to be third down, before one Kittle catch and then the next the third down was a terrible defensive pass interference call, you had to at least give it to me that you thought to yourself, if Aaron Rodgers gets the ball back down 14 points, this may be the best comeback I've ever seen. Correct? Okay, so the idea that he's gone from greatest quarterback we've ever seen to he stinks is laughable. He did not play well. But I think he's right in terms of how close they are. Here's Aaron Rodgers after the game.
I said it last week, the window is open for us. And that's the exciting thing. It doesn't make this feeling any easier, but that is very exciting moving forward.
I agree with him. Aaron Jones is 25 years old in his third year in the league, just coming into his own. Devontae Adams ran by Richard Sherman like Richard Sherman was an old man. Alan Lazard starting to come into his own, 24 years old. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, 25 years old, second year in the NFL. Fifth youngest roster in the league and a first-year head coach that looked very much like a first-year head coach yesterday. They're going to get better. Brian Gutekunst has been in the organization, but he's only been GM for a year and a half now. They're going to get better. They are not far away. And while I've heard other people, including my good friend Colin Cowherd, say, well, you know, if you want to play at home, you should have beaten Philadelphia. Yeah, or Seattle gets to the one-foot line. Don't get a delay a game out of a timeout. Seattle wins that game. That game's in Green Bay yesterday. And if you want to say that the Niners are still better, I'm not going to dispute that. The Niners have a better roster because they were bad longer and they drafted very, very well. But that doesn't mean that the Niners absolutely win that game if it's played in Green Bay. Completely different football game, and I think we all know it. If Jimmy G doesn't tear his ACL, that team's not as good because they don't get Nick Bosa, who is probably the best defensive player on their defense. He might be the best pass rusher in the league. Right? Like, I get the Kyler Murray thing. They had to fix the quarterback deal, but even they're crazy for turning down Nick Bosa, drafting Nick Bosa in Arizona. So we can talk our way out of stuff and say that we don't like Aaron Rodgers because he can be a little surly and you think he's more like Jay Cutler. No, Jay Cutler would have quit that thing at halftime and smoked a cigarette on the sideline. Not Aaron Rodgers. He got him within 14. And if the defense could get a stop at all, we might have had something super exciting. He did not play well in the first half. That doesn't mean he's not good. I just want you to know that when the Patriots beat the Falcons in the Super Bowl and they were down 28-3, Tom Brady played terrible for 2.5 to 3 quarters of the game. Right? The difference is Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Pat Mahomes, those guys can bring you back. They need a little help. They need a stop. They need a turnover, and they couldn't get either. And that's a credit to the Niners, who dominated that game, not just in terms of their offensive line, their scheme, and running the football. That's what everybody's going to say. That's the easy one. And that their defensive front just wrecked havoc on the Packers. That's the easy one. They won that thing in special teams as well. You know, Packers get stopped on their second drive, and they fail on punt coverage, and the Niners dominated field position as well. The Niners were better in three phases, not just one. And while we can easily point to Aaron Rodgers was unable to be superhuman and lift his team and his young head coach up, the fact is they were beaten in all three phases in the first half. In the second half, Rodgers had some success, but it was too little too late. I am not closing the window on the Packers. They got a second-year GM, a first-year head coach, young wide receivers. They do need to fix some things, but they are not far away. And they are one Seahawks play away from playing that game at home. And if you don't think that's a different game played in Green Bay, I can't really help you. You're just denying it because you don't like Rodgers. You don't like the Packers. I don't know. You like the Niners.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, I've been watching Pat Mahomes, and I do like that other people are coming around to my assertion that he's the best quarterback in football. Not a hard assertion to make, but what happens is we do deal on dated information. We're like, well, Brady won a Super Bowl last year. He wasn't close to the best quarterback last year, and he wasn't really in the conversation of a top five, maybe top 10 quarterback this year. Some of that is his supporting cast, no question. Some of that is that he's 42 freaking years old. But what's interesting about Mahomes is everything about this setup is perfect. Right? I know what. It's very easy for you to sit there and go, hey, Chicago screwed up. They did. Okay, they traded up and drafted Mitchell Trubisky. And as much as you could say that you look now at Trubisky who's hanging on for dear life with his job, and Mahomes, and that's a complete mismatch, they're thinking at the time, and I've been told from numerous sources, that Mahomes was not the locked-up cinch to be the superstar that some may think. Now, look, he threw for over 5,000 yards in college. They had, I think, 7,800 yards in offense. The only problem was their defense surrendered just as many yards. He had some footwork issues. He had some work ethic issues. He had some just showing up on time and being locked in and engaged because he's so super freaking talented he could get away with it issues. From the time he was drafted, where he had to sit behind Alex Smith. Alex Smith is the consummate pro. A pro's pro. Right? First guy in the building, last guy out. Not only did he have to sit for 16 weeks and play week 17, but he also, you know, follows, this is really important, he followed a quarterback who is super conservative. So some of who you... He gets championed because he takes chances. Well, it's not like he's following Jameis Winston who threw 30 picks. You follow a guy that's check down Charlie and people really appreciate you throwing the football into tight windows down the football field. Combine that with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, who right in there as one of the top two pass catching tight ends in the NFL. You know, last year they had the best running back or leading rusher in the NFL from 2 years ago. You add in Sammy Watkins. They continue to draft speed and talent, a good offensive line with a great offensive mind. He learns to be a pro. He refines his some of his flaws in terms of his throwing and where his eyes are, where he puts the football. He goes to a place that will champion anybody who takes a chance, not just because Alex Smith was conservative, but remember, when they had Marty Schottenheimer and all that success, when they had Marty Schottenheimer and all that success, they would get to the playoffs and lose early because Marty Ball was super conservative. So I think the whole thing is you surround a guy with one of the best head coaches and play callers in the history of the sport, Andy Reid. And Andy Reid has never had a guy like this. Right? He won with Donovan McNabb. He won with Alex Smith. He won, you know, with Mike Vick, but Mike Vick after he'd been in jail and wasn't, Mike Vick was never this type of thrower. You go Kevin Cobb, he won with. Go back and look at all the guys he had in Philadelphia. None of them, even McNabb, are going to be Hall of Famers. So if you put a superstar quarterback in Andy Reid's offense, it's the same as putting Pat Mahomes with this group of players in Andy Reid's offense. It is. Barry Bonds was an MVP several times over, right? Was the best player in baseball 6 or 7 years and had begun to fade a little bit. But the difference between Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa, Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire, they're all on steroids. You give steroids to one of the greatest players in baseball history, and he's going to set the bar so high, no one will ever climb it, even if he was in his late 30s. The same can be said for Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes, in the Chiefs offense with that personnel and with Andy Reid, that is a great quarterback on steroids. And I don't mean physically on steroids. I mean in a figurative sense. Right? That's why we see video game-like numbers. That's why there is no lead that is insurmountable. Look, Aaron Rodgers in that system at that age would have done the same thing. But he's never had Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and Travis Kelce, all in their prime. And he had Mike McCarthy, who was really good, but has not had the sustained success with as an Andy Reid. You give the best arm with great feet, young, energetic, a guy who learned to be a pro from Alex Smith, and a great play caller, the best personnel group in the NFL, along with a good offensive line, this is what you get. What appears to be a virtually unstoppable offense. Appears to be.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
49ers offense has played two playoff games. They've run 81 run plays to non-quarterbacks. 89 if you include Jimmy Garoppolo's scrambles. So, but let's go 81. 27 pass attempts. Three run plays for every one pass attempt. In a world where 5 years ago, we were like, you got to have balance. You got to be able to run the football some. 1-to-1 ratio or 2 passes to 1 run ratio. You got 3-to-1 run. What's the natural reaction? Well, they're just scared to let Jimmy Garoppolo throw. Because Jimmy Garoppolo, who will throw it to the other team occasionally, is inexperienced and he'll get confused. Keep in mind, they haven't trailed in either game. When the score was tied against the Vikings, they called 15 pass plays and 12 run plays. They showed the ability to be balanced. Last night, against the Packers, they had 38 rush attempts. They ran for 286 yards. You would keep handing it off, too, if it was working like it was last night. In the entire regular season, 476 to 449 pass to run, almost a perfect 1-to-1 ratio. They're not afraid to throw the ball. They're not protecting Jimmy Garoppolo. They're taking what the defense gives them. And they're gouging them. And what's interesting to me, most interesting to me, is if you watched last night, now granted, on the last big drive, when it got to 14 points, they did try to throw to Kittle twice. Once he caught it, once they called an atrocious pass interference penalty. It was atrocious because it's kind of like I've described it to you. This is the problem with PI and even reviewing PI. When does PI start? Because oftentimes the offense creates the contact, and then the defense gets caught with their hand in the cookie jar. That's what happened last night. But think of the worst moment in Kyle Shanahan's career as a play caller. They're up 28-3. Up 28-3. Julio Jones makes the most ridiculous, spectacular catch while up 28-3. And if they had simply taken a knee, don't even need to run the football, but they'd simply taken a knee, probably kick a field goal, go up 31-3, and the game is over. Matt Ryan gets sacked, trying to drop back and pass. They're out of field goal range. They punt. Brady wakes up. They come back. The rest is history. But you have a head coach who has learned from his past. Right? Has learned from his past. Now, was Matt Ryan more experienced than Jimmy Garoppolo? Yeah. And so maybe some of it is trusting Matt Ryan. Maybe it's that he had Julio Jones, that the construct of the team was different. But the fact is, you have a coach who, when he was a coordinator in the Super Bowl, got crushed for just run the football, stupid. Find creases, find lanes, keep the chains, keep the clock moving. Don't overthink yourself. Don't get cute. They got cute and they got beat. They got caught by the Patriots. Last night through this playoffs, he's like, why am I going to throw it when I can just run it? And no one on earth who plays football thinks that Jimmy Garoppolo should be bent out of shape over Terry Bradshaw saying, you know, your arm should be rested, right? You can't play football, especially the position of quarterback, and not take a little giggles over the fact that you threw the ball, what, 8 times? 8 times? Looked like a high school game in the 1980s. But it was a spectacular game plan, an amazing ability to block the opponent, the use of leverage, trap plays, sweep plays. Even the fact that Garoppolo carries out the bootlegs every time as if he has the football just shows how well coached they are. They're exceptionally well coached. That is a well-coached football team. Regular season on the road against the Saints, what'd they do? 35 passes. Why? They're behind. And the defense dictated that they need to throw the football. And they won the game. You know, this is, on some level, the old Bill Belichick model, which is you can't necessarily go into a game determined to prove that your style works. Instead, just do whatever it takes to win that football game. And then next week, do whatever it takes to win that football game. And the next week, do whatever it takes to win that football game. Yes, do they run? Is this their style of running attack? Absolutely. And it's a beautiful thing to watch. They got power running. They got speed. They got great blocking. They get to the second level with their not just their tight ends, but also their fullback. It's a really well-coached team. But this idea that they're protecting Jimmy Garoppolo from Jimmy Garoppolo because they think that he could cause a disaster, no. I think it's reasonable to put him in positions where he can succeed, but more than anything, why the hell would you throw it? Take what the defense gives you. That is football 101. That is basketball 101. Take what the defense gives you. And if anything, that's a dramatic departure from the old school football mentality, which if any of you grew up playing football like I did, your coach would come and say, hey, if we do what we do well, doesn't really matter what they do. Yeah, that's not actually how it works. Not actually how it works. You got to take what they give you and exploit the weakness. Every defense has one. There is no perfect defense. There is no perfect play. Everyone has a weakness. And the Niners seem to continually exploit whatever the weakness was in that Packers D.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Who knows better about some of that zone blocking running scheme than a guy who led it to a Super Bowl win and to a Hall of Fame induction? That's Terrell Davis. TD joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. TD, how are you?
Doug, what's going on, man? I'm doing great.
What's that like to watch some similarities to your overall dominance for your whole former head coach's son yesterday in the NFC Championship game?
Yeah. There was something familiar about that game. But the difference is kind of the way they run the football.
Sure.
As opposed to when I was playing, we ran the zone. We ran some power, some gap scheme stuff. But what they're doing is they have a lot of, like, motions and shifts. And they use the running game in so many more ways than I've ever used it, that they're creating space and gap all over the place. And they've got guys who understand where those holes are going to be. They're really good at seeing and having spatial orientation. And, you know, Mostert had a heck of a game yesterday. So it was fun to watch it. I root for Kyle. Obviously, I've known him for a long time, played for his dad. And not only that, but the running backs coach, Bobby Turner, was my running backs coach and real good friend of mine. He's a phenomenal coach. He's actually the secret sauce to the running game because he has that ability to get the best out of his running back.
It just seemed like, again, this is total layman watching, that one, whatever they were doing in terms of motions and shifts, Green Bay really struggled to set the edge. And then two, whether it's Mozart or whoever was running the football, they seemed to read if the edge was set and whether or not to cut it inside. I cannot remember a game where there was more. It felt like nearly every play was positive yardage. So from your perspective, because you see the game so much differently than us who haven't played at a high level, right?
Yeah.
What help me out with why there was such gaping, like, why couldn't Green Bay set the edge? What were they doing? If you could try and explain it in the most layman terms.
I know. Well, the first thing you talk about setting the edge, and what that means is that your end defenders, which is your rush defensive ends, they have to squeeze, hit the offensive tackles, and push them basically up the field and create a sort of a box where the back can't go outside. He has to come inside where you have your nose tackle, your three techniques, your interior linebackers can make the tackle. What they do is because they do motions and they do shifts, they're able to outflank a lot of those defenders. And so if a defensive end is trying to set the edge and there's somebody outside of him who's now crack blocking on him, well, that edge is now soft, and now you can attack that. And so Kyle is really, really good at watching tape, coming up with ways to attack the defense and really what their weaknesses are. He's been fantastic at doing that. And again, if you're a defender, they like to play with your eyeballs. What that means is you can't be aggressive if you're looking all over the place, if you're looking inside, outside, trying to see who's going to crack block you, you know, whether that guy who's in motion, whether he has the ball, speed, you know, jet sweep, all that stuff. So all of that is to confuse the defensive player and make him less aggressive, and that's what they did with the Packers.
You know, this year has been so much about the running game, right? And when it became such a passing league, teams like the Niners, heck, like the Packers even with Aaron Jones, they zigged when everybody else was zagging. Is this here to stay, or do you think that defenses will adjust in terms of personnel?
Well, I would tell you this. Because I know how this offense works, this offense can morph into whatever it needs to be. And what I mean by that is, let's say next game, well, obviously Super Bowl, we may not see the amount of rushing attempts. You know, they might see something in Kansas City's defense that allows them to throw the ball. And you might see a lot more bootlegs, right? A lot of fakes, flashing passes down the field. You know, they're going to take advantage of whatever the defense gives them, and that's what they've been really good at. So when you got an offense that can do multiple things, run the football, throw the football, do play action, screens, jet sweeps, you know, that's at Cal's disposal. So I think he's going to have another great game plan for the Kansas City Chiefs, and it may not be one that requires them to throw the ball eight times. I mean, I've never been in a game where I've seen a quarterback throw for eight attempts, six completions, and win the way they won. So that's kudos. That was almost like a high school game in the way they executed that run game.
I would agree. A lot of people said this is like a high school game and had, you know, in the volume of rushing attempts and then the way in which there was utter and sheer dominance. Terrell Davis joining us, Hall of Fame running back, of course, a spectacular career with the Denver Broncos, led them to a Super Bowl and led him to be an NFL Network analyst and a Pro Football Hall of Famer. On the other side, you have Pat Mahomes, and it's interesting. You know, present day, people like to compare him to Aaron Rodgers, but I'm not sure that there's enough people who remember what Elway was like in his prime. Not necessarily with you, because you were more towards the end of John's career when you carried the team, but early when he took him to two Super Bowls, his ability to run, throw on the run, move the chains. If you were to draw a parallel to Mahomes, would it be Favre? Would it be Aaron Rodgers? Would it be Elway? Who does he most remind you of?
Yeah, that's a great one. Probably Favre, and the reason I say Favre is just because of the unconventional things that he does. You know, Favre was really about, he was just playing out of structure. Like, he'll see something, he's throwing against the grain, he's running, doing all these high-risk plays, but yet he's getting results. And so he was taking the chances. His whole philosophy was high risk, high reward. And I think Patrick Mahomes has the same philosophy. Like, he's just out there making plays. He's going to make enough plays to where he's willing to take the chance that they're going to pay off. And you can guard them. You can defend the offense for the first 3 seconds. But yet, it's the extended play and where he becomes lethal. And then he just has arm talent. Somebody that is retreating back from pressure, yeah. And he's 15 yards in the backfield, and he's throwing darts. So he's gifted. I think he resembles Favre a little bit more. But I do see some John Elway in him when John was younger, mm-hmm. and John can use his leg and his legs and how he was able to kind of will his team to victory. Same thing as Patrick Mahomes.
Terrell Davis joining us, two-time Super Bowl champion, Hall of Famer. It's Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Of course, you see him on the NFL Network. How would you characterize Aaron Rodgers' play yesterday?
I thought that they talked all week about having answers to the Niners defense, and I was wondering, you know, what kind of answers would you have the first time they played them. Aaron was sacked 5 times. They were 1 for 15 on third down. Aaron Jones was not involved in the offense, and I still feel like they're struggling with their identity a little bit. And as much as they respect Aaron Rodgers, they know that he is a Hall of Famer, that they're still trying to win through Aaron. And I think that recipe is, you know, when I played with John Elway, I came in when we were transitioning from a passing team to a running team. And I think the Packers need to take that same playbook. You know, Aaron is a phenomenal quarterback, but you got to give him a good run game. Aaron Jones is capable. They just don't go through him. You know, I don't know if, like, LaFleur, like, he just feels like that's just not part of his style. But I thought Aaron was spooked. The minute he started getting pressure, it sort of looked like game one. They played early in the season, and they never recovered from that. He was out there seeing, I don't know if he was seeing ghosts, but he was seeing things that certainly weren't. They were there. They were pressuring him a lot during that game.
Yeah, it was interesting. He did seem to regain his composure in the second half, but the Niners couldn't get a stop and couldn't give him an opportunity to get it to within one score. But, yes, there was some very – I mean, the fact that he didn't even jump on the loose ball when they fumbled it was weird, right? Like,
yeah, I know. I never try to question anybody's, you know, their toughness or where their mental state is. And, you know, but that's an important play, right? I mean, the ball's on the ground. You gotta show me that you're willing to fight for it. And for whatever reason, he didn't.
Terrell Davis joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. What is it like to play in that game? You've done so twice. You've won it twice. Yeah. What's it like?
It's fun.
Well, it was a lot. It was fun for you. I'm sure if you asked the Broncos that played with John the first couple times, they said it wasn't fun. But, all honesty, what is that? It is fun?
You know, it is. You couldn't ask for a better. That's what you play for. That's why you play the game. Like, that moment. You dreamed of that as a child. You went to all these training camps, mini camps, OTAs. Everything you've done was to get you to that point, and now it's here. And part of it is understanding what it is, but don't be in awe of it. And that's the problem I think some players make, is that they're in awe of this, of all the attention they get, the media day, all the eyeballs in the world are going to be watching you on game day, but you got to find some way to make it normal. And of course it's important, but just don't do something differently than what you've been doing all season long. To me, every game was important. So when I got to the Super Bowl, yeah, it was important to make sure that I sharpened up on my stuff, but I didn't go out there and try to do anything that I didn't do during the season, because I didn't want to use that stage as no testing ground. Like, you know, prepare the same way, be prepared to play the game, and, you know, when it's time for the ball to be kicked off, be ready. You know, try to play your best game, but don't try to overdo it. And I think too many people try to overdo it.